You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, Reverend, Reverend, please come quick, 'cause I got
some. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex Jones today. I'm very happy to welcome our guest, former InfoWars reporter Savannah Hernandez. She's a reporter and political commentator now working with TPUSA, who specializes in on-the-ground coverage of protests, rallies, and events across America. You can follow her on X at SavSays, S-A-V-S-A-Y-S. And of course, she was attacked while reporting on a protest, an anti-immigration protest over the weekend. Savannah, how are you? It's good to see you, and I'm glad you're not in the hospital or something. It was brutal.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Harrison. I am doing as okay as I can be given the situation. I am, you know, we're getting through it. I'm happy that I'm back home. I'm not in Minneapolis or Minnesota anymore, thank goodness. It feels like lawless pockets of the United States of America are very much alive and well. And pretty jarring experience, Harrison. You and I spoke, you know, a little bit after it happened, and I feel like I'm just trying to, mentally cope with what happened, which I feel like a threshold has been crossed, because typically in the West and, you know, in American culture, it's basic common knowledge that men do not touch women and children. But, I guess we're just too far gone as a country now, where grown men are pushing down tiny journalists that are unarmed, then not attacking them.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, all of it was shocking. The way you were attacked was shocking. Of course, the fact that you weren't there trying to get interviews, you weren't there, because there is a difference. If somebody goes in, you're going into a crowd that you know is hostile, and you're kind of trying to get a reaction. And people do that, and if they get hit, it's not good. You're not supposed to do violence, obviously, but there's a certain amount of like, okay, they were expecting that. You were there by yourself, simply filming there as a journalist, capturing footage on the ground, and I guess people recognized you from TPUSA and decided to target you for that. Can you talk a little bit about just when you realized that they had identified you and how this all unfolded?
Sure. So basically, there is a man named William Scott Kelly, and he is the same Minneapolis protester that was arrested a couple months back for storming the church in Minneapolis. Remember the storming that led to children crying in terror because they were simply trying to worship Jesus Christ on a Sunday morning, and then these violent anti-ICE protesters went and mobbed the church and shut it down. He was a part of that. He was arrested for that. He is the person that came up to me and identified me on the ground. And he is the person that initially started screaming at me and started the mob, which formed around me. When I say started, I mean he was basically attracting all of the people by screaming at me that I work with Turning Point USA and that I was at this event. Now, I tried to tell people immediately and basically just defuse the situation by stating that I was not there to conduct interviews. I was simply observing. I even made a point to go stand next to the other streamers, right, who had their press vests on that clearly said press. I had my own press badge out, but I was like, let me just make sure that I'm standing with the press so that everybody, you know, can clearly identify that I am a member of the press. At one point, I had gotten some footage. Again, this was observational journalism, point and shoot, and then write a very basic summary of what is going on the ground. I went to the fence area on the public sidewalk to go and, you know, scrub through my footage and post it. And at that point, that's when William Kelly comes up to me, starts making a scene. At this point, a mob is forming, and it was a family. This was a family affair, Harrison.
Yeah.
Chris, Diana, and Paige Ostrushko, who all took turns violently assaulting me for simply standing on a public street. That's it. That was my crime, existing in the United States of America and standing on a public street. Now, the mom was the first one who came up to me. She started shoving me. She started very violently screaming in my face. She decided that I hate women and that I am, you know, racist, bigot, Nazi, like pick whatever name you want in your head. And that was kind of the energy she was putting out at me. And this is the labels that she had toward me. So she's being very aggressive. She's pushing me. She's shoving me. She's trying to get in my face. I'm trying to defuse the situation. Her husband comes up behind me, body checks me. Keep in mind, this is like a 250-pound man who's much bigger than me, Harrison, body checks me, screams in my ear. I try to walk away. The daughter comes up to me, starts blowing a whistle in my ear, 1 inch away from my ear. Alternate footage has come out, and it has shown that Chris told his own daughter, instructed his own child to go up to me and blow the whistle in my effing ear. He is quoted on camera saying this. So this was a premeditated attack. They planned this attack. They coordinated it. They orchestrated it. And then they had the audacity to say that I was the aggressor and that I was the person who went to agitate. Now, again, there are multiple angles of this. There were multiple live streamers there. This assault was so violent that even the left wing had to come out and say, yeah, we probably shouldn't touch women. That's a bridge too far. Yeah, that was a bad look. But, you know, I'm truly baffled by this because, you know, I'm familiar with the left wing, Harrison. I'm familiar with how violent they are. And it's why I made a point not to even try to speak to anybody, but merely observe. But in 2026, it doesn't matter. For merely existing on a public sidewalk, I was brutally assaulted multiple times. I had a whistle blown in my face. I had sex toys thrown in my face. I was pushed to the ground, shoved to the ground by a 250-pound man while my back was turned away and I was trying to leave the situation. It was insane, Harrison, to live through the rewriting of a narrative in live time, right? This woman, this father instructs his daughter to go up to me to assault me. She begins doing it. I'm trying to walk out. I have my hand up like this, like, give me my personal space. Because my hand touched her, she swings on me. After she attacks me, her mom comes up and says, you touched my daughter. Her mom tries to swing on me. And then the dad comes up and then pushes me to the ground. Because after his daughter attacked me, and I had the audacity to try to walk away, that was somehow an assault on their kid. So anyways, sorry to take over here.
No, the whole thing is just completely insane. But you touched on a lot of things that I wanted to bring up as well, because it wasn't even necessarily like they recognized you and knew of your work and didn't like you. It was because you worked for TPUSA, which is really shocking. I mean, we're, you know, less than a year, what, 8 months away from Charlie Kirk's assassination. And the result of that has been more hatred of TPUSA and more radicalization of the left. I mean, it's insane. TPUSA is not a radical outlet. It is, you know, no offense. It's like, you know, I don't want to call it normie because it's right wing. It's good. I like TPUSA. But the left has seen their successful assassination of Charlie Kirk as like a green light. Like, we can attack these people now. It's really sick.
Yeah, Harrison, this isn't the first time, by the way, that I've been on the ground simply doing the point-and-shoot journalism that people have looked at my press badge, seen that I work with Turning Point USA and have made a point to come up to me, to harass me, to threaten me, to make me feel uncomfortable, to essentially highlight how Charlie's death was justified. And now, you know, this is kind of the apex of that, me just being assaulted for simply being on the ground. I was speaking to some of my other journalist friends as well who've been in Minneapolis, and they were like, yeah, Minneapolis is on the same level, if not worse, than Portland. Now, if people don't remember what Portland in 2020 was like, people were getting shot and killed.
Right.
When Antifa found out that they were right wing or conservative. Yep. And I have a lot of anger, Harrison. I'm grateful because both the DOJ and DHS now have active investigations into potential charges. The state, or at least the sheriff's department in Minneapolis, said that they are recommending charges. I am going to do everything that I can to make sure that charges are brought forth against these people, and we'll be using other avenues as well to hold them accountable personally on my end. But
well, and I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, I believe the daughter was arrested, and when the police went to arrest her, her boyfriend like started fighting the cops. He got arrested. He's an illegal immigrant. So and apparently the woman is now out on bail, but apparently she was arrested and charged. But that was my next question, because it seems like you have the premeditation aspect. We'll play the video, because I know you don't have very long. We have to say goodbye to you in just a second, but once you leave, we'll play the video that shows they planned this out. Go blow the whistle in her ears. That's assault by itself. So it's like premeditated. They're insulting you and your race. I mean, that would be hate crime charges, obviously attack on a journalist.
And my religion, Harrison, and my religion.
So it's like, this isn't just a... You know, if they get away with like, oh, assault and battery, like, no, this needs every charge we can throw at them. How confident are you that these people will have justice rendered to them?
I'm going to do everything in my power, but I need the federal government to step in and make sure that they bring charges forth. I sat in front of the president of the United States last October at an Antifa roundtable to talk about this exact same thing. I looked Pam Bondi in her face and I said, please use the full force of the DOJ to come after these people and lay down the law. Because for this isn't just about me, Harrison. Okay, I'm one of multiple journalists who have been brutally assaulted at this point, who have had my First Amendment rights trampled over. But this is not just about me. It's about all of us. It's about sending a strong message that this is a country of law and order, and we need to abide by basic law and order. We should not be a country that is okay with watching a 250-pound man slam a young woman to the ground. So I want justice to be served, and I hope and pray that every federal agency involved is able to bring forward charges and that there is follow through on this. Again, they have been very responsive, which has been incredible. We need to see the follow through, because this is not about me. This is about every single journalist who has been attacked, because at this point, Harrison, it's not even just a right wing issue. You also have the left wing. It doesn't matter, what side of the political aisle that you are on. If you go and try to film these people, they are criminals. They are committing criminal acts and they do not like being filmed doing it. And that is why they have used violence for almost a decade at this point. No, it has been. It's been over a decade at this point since Donald Trump came down that golden escalator. This has been the scene and it needs to stop.
Yep. 100%. And of course, there's the guy right next to you. That's the William Kelly guy, who actually should be in jail right now because of the terrorism he committed against the church. And so I saw Harmeet Dillon on X going, we are on it. It's like, you were supposed to be on it back then. You were supposed to be on it 6 months ago when these people committed federal crimes, and yet they're out doing it again. So tell me that you're on it. Fine. But we'd like to see some results. I know you got to go. I thank you so much for giving us some of your time. I know this is difficult for you to talk about. How can people support you, and how can people, keep up with this story that as you, pursue justice? How can people find you?
Please go follow me on X at Sav Says. Go follow me on YouTube at Sav Says as well. I will be, like I said, seeing these cases through, and I will make sure that the public is fully aware of how this ends, but I will be following through with it. So go follow me there, and I will be posting updates. Thank you for having me, Harrison.
Thank you very much, Savannah. And we're glad you're safe. It's always harrowing seeing an attack like that, but especially when it's somebody you know. And she didn't have security. Since then, I've had like a ton of people call me and be like, can I get Sav's contact? We want to volunteer security. Stuart Rhodes is like, we will have Oath Keepers surrounding her in a phalanx. You just give me the word. And obviously seeing that video, I mean, you're not a human being if you don't start seeing red and wanting the justice system to be a little bit more brutal and efficient than it currently is right now. Because as she points out, this is not what we do, but it's becoming what we do. We are becoming a culture of mercilessness and savagery and dog eat dog, just might is right mentality. And it's what humanity spent 2,000 years fighting and sacrificing our way out of, we're just devolving back into it, because the other option is just be kind of mean to bad people. Not even mean, just like lay down the law and just throw the criminals in prison and not be sorry about it. That's literally all we have to do, and everything would be fine. We seem incapable of doing that. But I say, even again, the glimmer of hope is that you see the left-wing streamers that were there with Savannah, sort of, as she said, she was kind of standing around other streamers that were there. Most of them were leftist. Now, when Savannah gets attacked and thrown against the fence, you can see the William Kelly scumbag domestic terrorist. I'll leave it there. He's standing right there, and instead of defending her, he like moves out of the way so she can keep being attacked. Some of the guys, to their credit, see a woman get attacked and immediately have the instinct to turn around and block the attacker. Thank God there's still some remnant of classic American mentality going on, which might give you a little bit of hope. But then you want to ask these people, like, you get that this is your side, right? Like, this is the left. This is not out of character of the left. This is not, oh, some crazy extremist that you can't, you know, blame this on his ideology. No, this is y'all. No, this is what you believe. Now, the fact that this family is, quote unquote, Iranian-Ukrainian is just sort of another layer of, I don't know, the simulation winking at us or something. But this is the left. This is who you people are. This is what you support. And so when you're faced with it directly, some of these leftist streamers, they still have that, you know, remnant in their lizard brain, the instinct to be outraged and infuriated and experience the righteous indignation at a 250-pound goblinoid attacking a young woman. They still have that instinct. And the question is, like, where is it the rest of the time? Okay, but where is it the rest of the time? You are here actually protesting against ICE, whose entire job is protecting innocent people from the ravages of psychotics like the ones you're aligned with. So where's the consistency? Where's that protector instinct when it actually matters and on the political realm? Not that it doesn't actually matter with Savannah, but where is that instinct when it comes to the nation at large? I don't know. I don't get it. But it's like that glimmer of hope that's like, okay, they're not totally brainwashed. Some of them aren't. People like that Kelly guy, people like the family themselves, like, okay, they're a lost cause. They just need to be decommissioned. They just need to be kept out of any influence whatsoever and probably locked away for their own good, if not deported to the ocean. Like, whatever. We don't need them. We don't like them. We don't want them. But there are some people that think they're on the left, think that being a moral, good person, having that instinct to protect means that you should go on the left. How are you falling for this? Because this is the ultimate trick of the left, is they hijack the best instincts of people. They hijack the good things that we want to preserve, the instinct to protect, is then wielded against them as you're told, oh, you have to protect the endless flow of adult men into Europe. That is what is, you know, loving and good. It's absurd and it's backwards. So it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around. Let's go to that video just to show people what we're talking about here. Again, the absurdity and the headline says it all. Far left anti-ICE extremist now plays victim after brutal assault on TPUSA reporter Savannah Hernandez. It's one of these situations where they know they're lying. They know we know they're lying, and yet they're lying. And typically that sort of phrase is attributed to people at the top, but no, it's trickled down. No, they get it too. And I've talked about this for a long time. I remember in 2016, in the run-up to the Donald Trump election, there was a false flag attack against a church where there was like a swastika and I think some slurs about gay people written on a church. And it turned out it was the gay choir director of the church, and he's being interviewed. And they're like, why did you do this? And he's like, well, it was a false flag. He's like, I did a false flag because I wanted people to understand the threat that we are under with Trump. Now, if you really like wrap your mind around what that is saying, like, they're imagining a threat. They're mad that we aren't also imagining the non-existent threat. So then they do the threat. They do the thing that they're warning about to prove us wrong that we weren't concerned about it. I mean, on its own, it's shocking that anybody would have the ability to think this way and not go insane. But really, the important thing about this, in my mind, was that people understand now. You don't need a massive conspiracy to pull off a false flag. Typically, the way it would go was that you would have these plans in place. You'd have people in different positions all playing their role. You'd have the people in the media. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's how you spin it. Here's who you blame it on. And you have this, you know, smoky rooms and this collaboration taking place. That's not really necessary anymore. Now the left knows I can lie and the media will run with it. I can attack Republicans, say they attacked me, and the media will report my story as fact. They just know that. They know that's the case, and so they act like that's the case. So when they're the ones complaining about the post-truth world and the damage that the Trump administration has done to trust in this country, they have fully enveloped themselves in this mindset of whoever can lie the best wins, whoever can just lie continuously, no matter how obvious it is they're lying. That's the way you succeed. See, we used to, or theoretically had a society where you were rewarded for telling the truth. Even if it was a bad thing, you told the truth because it was the right thing to do. And you recognize that, like, everybody's lying all the time. There's no way we can solve any problem ever because we can't even identify the problem. We certainly can't identify the solution. You try to make a solution, the solution ends up just filling the pockets of the person that caused the problem in the first place. This is the situation that we're in because of this incremental acceptance of the lies, acceptance of the false flags, acceptance of the just total inverted interpretation of world events. It's absolutely insane. And as Americans, we just shouldn't allow this to be the case. But obviously, there is this side. Again, I don't even know if left and right is the right designation, but whatever these sides are, in my opinion, there are two sides. There's Savannah Hernandez and the people who were standing around her protecting her, and there were the psychotics protesting ICE and attacking her. Those are the two sides. Define it however you want. If you believe that a reporter deserves to be viciously attacked for merely having different opinions than you, you're not on our team. You're not American, so you shouldn't even pretend to be. If, however, you believe in free speech, you believe in the right of even those you hate to speak freely, then you're on our team. And if you'll protect innocent women from psychotic goblins, then you're on our team. This is the real division here. At the end of the day, let's go to this video quickly, and then we'll finish out the segment. But here's these attackers pre-planning, plotting their attack to assault Savannah Hernandez, even if they never touched her. Blowing a whistle full volume in somebody's ear to deafen them is obviously assault, as it can cause permanent damage and hearing loss. Let's watch.
Don't write up.
Where's the
whistle? It's in the car. Just the whistle right there. Right in her ear.
Don't try to get his whistle right in the middle of you.
Whistle in her
ear.
So again, you just have this crowd, this mob surrounding Savannah there. They don't realize they're in front of a camera that's streaming as they are literally plotting their attack right there. So that's pre-planning. You know, that means you can't say, oh, this is the heat of the moment or whatever you'd want to argue in court. This is pre-planning. And then I would wonder if they, there's just so many ways to go after these people. And if these people, basically, if these people don't go to jail for years, we're going to have a major problem. And it's sort of the final litmus test for the Trump administration. Maybe not the final one, but like the Trump administration is hanging on by a thread. They're collapsing in the polls across the board. And almost all of it is because the Iran war is happening while American interests and domestic American issues are going totally unaddressed. One of the primary ones being the insanity, the domestic terrorism, the violence of the left, as people who storm into church and terrorize children are let out to go do this again, like that guy William Kelly. That's one of the biggest issues with the Trump administration, and it proves to all of us that had big hopes for the Trump administration, they're not serious about correcting things, because you need to correct this almost first and foremost. Correct this, and then you can do the deportations without a lot of interference, right? Do this, and then we can go out and cover stuff and have free speech and hold protests and not have to worry about being assassinated during it. This is a problem, if solved, could solve a bunch of other problems, but they're not doing that. So if the Trump administration felt like winning the midterms, if they had any inclination whatsoever to preserve the Republican Party as a political entity, then they would be pouring all of their effort into this, and they would be making a giant public show about just how effective and, you know, zero tolerance their position on leftist violence is. So that's up to them. I got to tell you, folks, thealexjonesstore.com, it's the only way that we get funds. And I want you to pay attention, because a lot of times we have a lot of sales. Sales are constantly starting and ending. You hear the term last chance a lot, because it'll be like, oh, the sale's about to end. It's your last chance to get it. It's your last chance to get the raffle for the car. Folks, it might be your last chance ever to get InfoWars branded material. Once InfoWars goes down, we cannot sell anything with InfoWars logo on it. So now is your actual last chance ever to get InfoWars branded material at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let him know who sent you. Second hour begins on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.